The following message was given by Herbert W. Armstrong on Saturday, October 1st, 1955, at Big Sandy, Texas, USA. It was given on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Literature alone, we've got to get on a different road. We have come to a crossroads, and this road is a dead-end road. It goes off here in a ditch and down into oblivion, and we don't want to go any farther on this road. That doesn't mean that we're going off of radio at all, but it means that radio alone is no longer effective. Now, we've had quite a problem. It's taken a lot of prayer and a lot of wisdom to know what to do. We've come to the crossroads. The people have gone away from radio. Where are the people? They're in front of television sets, so we decided that the thing to do, we have to go on television. Now, television is a lot more expensive than radio. But that's where the people are. Well, then we learned something on television. We started on television. You know, I had a terrible time getting the first program out. First day, I didn't do anything. The second day, in the morning, I didn't do anything. Just couldn't get going. That afternoon, I got a program off, and partly, and I finished it up and did another one the next day, and we got two programs done in 3 days. You all know the story. That's since I was over here last time at the Passover time. Well, finally, they got me all patted on the back, and they got me encouraged, and they told me, our producers and directors and the cutters out there and editors told me that we had a better program than Bishop Sheen or any of them, that we had a wonderful program. So I thought. And then the first time I saw it on our local station, it was such a big letdown, I just had a nightmare and couldn't sleep that night. I was so discouraged when I saw our program in comparison with the other kind of programs that are exciting, that people listen to. I just thought it was a total letdown. When I've listened to some of our radio programs, I know they're not all alike, and some are better than others, and some aren't so good. Now, that's got to be true, because I'm a human being, and I do the speaking on radio, and I tell you, you don't speak as good some days as you do others. Some days you just feel like it, and you can just put yourself in it and do everything. Other days it just isn't there. I think you know what I mean. You're the same way in your job, whatever you do, aren't you? Well, there's some kinds of work, maybe you go along the same every day, but you can't do it in this kind of work. But when I'm at my best, when I listen to the radio program, I think myself that it's one of the best programs on radio. I might say more than that, but I don't want to say anything as long as I'm involved, but it isn't just my part of it. We've got the truth. It's a wonderful thing. If I run an ad in the paper, I think it steals the page. It attracts the interest. It dominates the magazine or the newspaper, and it always gets results. Now, I was just discouraged. I said to my wife, why is it? I can do these other things better than other people, but on radio or on television, down we go. And I was terribly discouraged. Well, then we did 9 programs at the second shooting, and they were a little better. Those of you that have seen them know that they were a little better. But they still weren't good enough. Well, I found out one reason that I was so discouraged was that our local station, KTLA, is about the oldest station out there. In fact, one of the oldest in the United States. And they had some old worn-out 16-millimeter equipment, and they were giving us a fuzzy picture and poor sound. Why, the piano just was an old tin pan, yet we have nothing but the finest Steinway pianos. And that was one reason. We didn't see it as you were seeing it, I think, in other parts of the country. Now I found out it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. But also, we have had to find a way to make a better program. Now, I know that the last shooting that we did, that you'll see the first program of that series a week from tomorrow night. 1 week from tomorrow night, or the Sunday night right after this service closes, this festival, you will see the one about Russia. I won't take the time to tell you, but it snapped up a whole lot, and it zips along a lot better. And I think that you will find it is a far more interesting program. But I learned this about television. We've got a tiger on one hand by the tail, and we've got a lion on this other hand by the tail, and they're pretty hard to tame. I've found the people are in front of television sets. Yes, that doesn't mean, though, they're in front of our program. I'll tell you where they are. They're in front of the $64,000 question right now. Yes, and there in front of Toast of the Town and Groucho Marx and I Love Lucy and Dragnet and Private Secretary and the drama shows and What's My Line and I've Got a Secret. That's where the people are. Now, if we go on in a good time, those are the shows that get the attention. That's where people are. If we go on in a time when those shows are not on, not very many sets are tuned in, the people have gone to bed or something. Now, that's what we're up against in television. In other words, the people are in front of television sets. Television is fantastically expensive. Television offers you a fantastic opportunity, but for what? It offers us an opportunity to turn out a more interesting program than the other fellow that will get the audience away from the $64,000 question and Love and Lucy and some more of the things people like to do. And if you can't do it, and if you can't meet the competition, and if I can't make this book more interesting than the $64,000 question and what the secret is and who's lying, this fellow, what's this fellow's line or something, then television is not offering us anything but a lot of headaches to spend a lot of fantastic money and get nothing. The people that don't have a good show or a good program on television are spending all kinds of money and they're getting nothing back. We have to spend as much money for time as those fellows do. Do you know what the big shows spend just for production? Now, this isn't what it costs them to go on the air at all. That's all extra. But I mean what they pay for their stars, what they pay for their stage settings, what they pay for their direction, the camera shooting, for the show itself. The average cost is between $30,000 and $35,000. Every show, every week. Some of them have spent as high as $250,000 for one telecast. One time. Not counting the cost of the station time. And the station time on a network runs 30, 35, 45, up to $60,000. One time. But the $64,000 question has been reaching pretty close to 64 million people. They have got more for their money than anybody. Now, they don't have as big a production expense as others because they don't pay the great big movie star salaries. And if you'll notice, only one man has ever won the $64,000 so far. I'll let you in on a secret. I know exactly the way the thing's got to run. They were getting to a place where interest was going to bog down because no one would go for 64. You've got 32,000. Well, the next 32,000, if you win it, Uncle Sam's going to take such a slice of it that you are betting actually about $27,000 against $12,000 extra if you win, something like that. And the question will be the hardest of all, and you got a less chance of winning it than you did the earlier ones. So it just isn't a good bet, in other words. And it is a bet. That's exactly what it is. It's a gamble. You can call it skill if you want to. But they knew that someone had to go ahead and win it. What could they have picked better than an officer of the United States Marine Corps? You know, everybody's pretty loyal and got a soft spot in their heart for the Marines. The Marines are always the first to land, aren't they? They had to be the first to land on the $64,000 question. They didn't dare let that Marine loose. Now, I don't mean there was anything crooked about it. I don't think there was. But I do think this. They found a Marine that they felt so sure that he would be able to answer, even though they made the question fairly tough. The question wasn't easy. But they thought that he knew it well enough it wouldn't be too hard for him, and they were pretty sure he'd win. They didn't dare let him fail. It would have been a blow to the Marine Corps. It would have been a blow to CBS. It would have been a blow to the sponsor. It would have been a terrible letdown all around. He had to win. Now, in the same way, just so people don't think everybody wins that gets on, they've got to have another person very soon actually get to 32 and then go on with 64 and lose. Now, you watch. The next one's going to lose, and it may be this man coming along on baseball right now. Yeah, I look at it once in a while, too. I've got to know what our competition is. Because this fellow that's going along on baseball, he's such a wisecracker and such a smart aleck. He knows it all. He's just the fellow to lose on. He's supposed to go Tuesday night. Well, we won't see it because we're all going to be here. But this Tuesday night, he's going to decide whether he goes for 64. And my guess is he'll go for it and lose. He'll only get that poor little consolation prize. That's all he'll get. Just a Cadillac, that's all. Poor fellow, I feel sorry for him. What a come down. Well, now the programs are rated. All of them that are on networks are nationally rated. I have the ratings of the Sunday programs here. The $64,000 question is now rated number one. And they are, in the summer even, getting around 30 to 40 million people viewing their program every week. It is the largest audience that has ever looked at any regular commercial program. Now, we are learning some things about how to produce a program more people will look at. For instance, I have just been awakened since my last telecast, or during the process of it, to this fact, that through these years, I have been talking to people like you people. I have been talking to people that know something about the Bible and are interested in the Bible. In other words, I've been talking to the religious audience. And I have just come to find out and wake up to the fact that about 90% of your general public don't understand that kind of language at all. It's over their heads. They know who the Dodgers are and they know who the Yanks are. Now, some of you people may not even know that, but they all know that. That's popular language. They probably know who the Cardinals are and some more of the baseball teams. But they don't know anything about whether the 34th chapter is to be found in Jude or not. Now, that's all. They just don't know. In fact, they don't know whether there's any such book as Jude in the Bible. Revelation, what's that? They think it has something to do with the Notre Dame football team. That's about all they know. And consequently, I'm finding that our telecasts have been over the heads of most people. Now, from now on, we're changing everything. We're starting down a new road. Listen quickly. Here's what it is. On television, I'm going to talk the people's language to the people. We're going to snap it up. We had a lion on our campus, the only lion on the face of the earth that can be photographed without a leash. Not one person thought that was important enough to even mention it in a letter, out of thousands of letters from people who have seen that program. Well, we're taking the lion and the lamb out of it. I'm going to let you see it again sometime when I'm talking about it, and I'm going to really cram it right down their throats, and I'm going to shame them out because no one even wrote a letter about it. But otherwise, it's not going to appear on the front of the program anymore. Now, the program has been dull and dead starting out. All right, I won't tell you, but it's going to start out a lot liver from now on. I'm going to talk the people's language. I'm going to tell them the same message. I'm not going to change that message because God is here to proclaim the good news of His coming kingdom. And that's what we're going to tell them, but I'm going to tell them in language they understand. I'm not going to read as many Bible passages as I did, and when I do, it'll be a smaller amount. I'm just going to tell them in plain language. I'm not going to tell them about a beast and about a harlot woman and a two-horned beast and this and that and the other kind of thing. I'm going to tell them about a resurrection of the Roman Empire, and I'm going to tell them about a dictator that's coming up over there, and I'm going to tell them those things in language they understand. Same thing, but in different language. I'm adding a question and answer department on the end of it that we think will get a lot of interest. Now, we're just beginning to learn how. These next telecasts are not going to be a sample of where I think we're going to go. I've got to get loosened up where I feel free like I do in front of you people here, too. I'm not afraid of you people, but I get in front of those Klieg lights and those cameras and I really get scared. For some reason, I just freeze up. My hips all around and my legs, my thighs down to my knees. I have a tired feeling that is just an absolute ache that is almost unendurable. And no strength, my legs will scarcely hold me up. The minute I get up in front of that podium there and those lights, and I don't know what does it. I can't understand it. And it's still happening, but I think we'll outgrow it. Well, all right, we're going to make the telecasts altogether different. But it's not as bad as we thought. We're beginning to get the ratings in. First, though, let me tell you about the mail. I expected a lot more mail. I expected 10 times as much. Well, that's fantastic. We're in the summer. We started when fewer people listen to television than any other month in the year. February is the most listened to month. It's getting a little better now, but next month will be a lot better than this. Even this month is not too good, October. November is when they really begin to listen, and then December, and then January, and February hits the peak month. So we started at the time to experiment. That's as it should be. But nevertheless, on 12 television stations in the United States, we are getting about 2.5 times as much mail as we did on the radio network of over 100 stations, including great CBS and NBC stations like WLW, KDKA Pittsburgh, WCCO Minneapolis, KOA Denver, WRCA Richmond, Virginia, and stations like that. All of those put together about 106 or 10 stations brought barely a little over a third as much mail as just 12 television stations are bringing, so it isn't so bad, is it? Now then, I've got our ratings. These are the official ratings as they rate the program in certain cities. In Seattle, there are 4 stations. There are only 2 in Seattle, but there are 2 in Tacoma that can be heard in Seattle. But naturally, Seattle people listen first to the Seattle stations. They're supposed to be the 2 best. And neither of the Tacoma stations is quite as good. We're on a Tacoma station. Now, the highest rated program at the time we're on the air, which is 10:17. That's an awful time. 10:17, I think they put us on at Seattle, or Tacoma. And this is a Seattle rating. Masquerade Party on the on KING up there has a rating of 20.9. That's a very good rating for us, any good program in the summer. The best programs rate around 30, in the 20s and 30s in the summer. And the 2 or 3 top programs will rate just barely above 50 in the winter. And a few 40, but most of the better known programs around in the 30s, even in the winter. Now that's a 20.9 rating. In second place, coming down from Tacoma, is The World Tomorrow with an 11.2 rating. Now as ratings go, that's an awful good rating. In third place is KOMO, NBC, Meet the Press, a very well-known, nationally known network program, Meet the Press, with a 10.8 rating against our 11.2. Now, way down here in the bottom, trailing all of them, is Oral Roberts with 1.5. Well, I felt pretty good when I got that rating. Now, in Kansas City, at the time we're on the air, which is 10:30 Sunday nights, an ABC entertainment drama show is in first place with a 9.4 rating. 9 4/10, that is. Just barely a fraction over 9. 9.4, a little less than 9.5. In second place is The World Tomorrow with 9 even. Just less than a half of a point below them. They have 3 stations, and NBC comes tagging on behind there. We're on the CBS station there, and NBC is on the bottom with about a 4 rating. Now, in Houston, Texas, we have a very poor time. Here are the Nielsen ratings of the time that people listen in. Between 10 and 11, 54% of all sets are tuned in. A little over half of all television sets are actually tuned in and listening at the time of the stations that I just told you about that we're on. But at the time we're on in Houston, 11 o'clock in the morning, only 12% of the stations, or the sets, are even tuned in. 12%. And the other 88% are not even listening or looking at anything at that time Sunday morning. So it's a very poor time. We have a little over 4. I think it's a 4.5 rating in Houston. Well, we're not satisfied with that. We're going to try to get a night time. So I find out that television is doing a lot better than we thought. and with a new program it's going to go. But that's not all. In addition to television, we are combining big space advertising, something I've never seen done in this manner before. Here is the last issue of Prairie Farmer. This is the last issue of Prairie Farmer. Another paper's due out today or Monday, but this is the September 17th issue of Prairie Farmer. They gave us a bad position way back here near the back on the left-hand page. I don't know whether you can see it, but maybe you can see the headline. This half page over here, "The World Coming to an End?" Question mark. Some believe it, others ridicule. Here's the truth about the world coming to an end. That was bringing in about 80 coupons or 80 letters a day last week, and I don't know what it's done this week because I haven't been there to see. But it is producing. In other words, look, we take the number of letters we get and we take the number of dollars that we spend on the ad or on the broadcast or the telecast, and we divide the number of letters into the number of dollars, and that tells us how much it costs us per letter to get these people to write in. You see? Well, that is bringing in mail at a lower cost per letter than either television or radio. So it looks like it's a very successful thing. Now, here is the same ad, a proof of it, as it was in the Los Angeles Times. Now, we have run a second ad in the Los Angeles Times. I don't know whether you can see it at the distance, but here it is, the one of Basil Wolverton's illustrations up at the top. This has a man, oh, he's mad. He's just trying to tear his Bible apart. He's just, oh, trying to tear it apart. And it says, "Can it be broken? Can it be broken? Skeptics say it can. Christ said it cannot. Can you prove whether the Bible is divinely inspired by a creator?" Most highly educated people and men of science assume that the Holy Bible is not the inspired, infallible revelation of a supernatural God. They assume it without the scientific proof that they demand on material questions. Most fundamentalist believers assume, on faith, never having seen proof, that the Holy Bible is the very Word of God. Christ is quoted as saying, "The Scripture cannot be broken." Isn't it about time that we stop to seek out the proofs one way or the other? And then I go on and prove by a prophecy that no man could have written it, that no one but a God could have written it, because it came to pass. And that's the story about Tyre and what happened to Tyre. And that's the first of a series. Now that ad is going, with, I hope, a better-looking display, into the next issue of Prairie Farmer. Now, what we're committed to now, the new road we're traveling, is this. We're going to talk to people on television in the language of the general public. We're going to perk up the program. I'm going to put much more moving picture stock in it. I found where we can get all we want from NBC New York. I'm going to illustrate it. Whenever I talk about a thing, it's going to be illustrated in movies, right on there while I'm talking. It's going to cost a little more money, but it's worth it. It'll get people to listen. We're going to perk up that program. There's going to be less music in it. There's going to be the questions and answers. It's going to zip right through. We're going to use the big space advertising. We have taken out a reservation for two full pages every issue in the biggest circulated magazine that has ever existed on Earth, the Reader's Digest. Two full pages every month. We're going to get this gospel over to the public. Now, you know, how many million circulation do they have? I think, isn't it about 14 million or something like that? I've seen it, but I don't remember. About 14 million copies of that go out and are bought. Listen, do you think this greatest work on earth is about to fold up and quit? Why, we're just getting ready to begin to start, to commence, to get ready to begin to start. That's all. Now, I've reserved that on faith. Listen, I'll tell you something more. We don't have that kind of money right now. It costs a good many $1,000 a page. And I have ordered two pages on faith. Well, It takes you a year to get going. We have to get a reservation in a year ahead. Now, by 1 year from now, we've got to have that kind of money. You keep praying for it, we'll have it. Now, let me tell you something else. Reader's Digest has two South American editions, one in the Spanish language and one in the Portuguese language. Millions of circulation all over South America. They have foreign, I think it's 14 or 17 different languages all over the world. And we can buy advertising space in the Reader's Digest all over the world to reach people we can't even reach by radio. Millions of people in England read it. We're getting ready now to start this big space advertising in the London Daily Mirror, the biggest mass circulation paper on the face of the earth, is a newspaper, nearly 5 million copies every Sunday or every day. And we will have a big ad, as big as they will sell us, in the Mirror. And our advertising agency over there is working for it. Now, we're not ready to lay down and quit. Now then, to bring this thing real quickly around, why then has it been so tough? Simply because we had to put on more radio to keep from going down. It didn't pay. We've had to go to television, and it costs money. And we've had to increase the expenses to keep from drowning and going down. You call that bad business management if you want to. I call it the only thing that could save the work. And we've got to have more money than ever before. Now, the truth is we're getting a little more money than ever before, but not enough more. And that's why we're having the tight squeeze. It's been a terrible tight squeeze. But the work is increasing. Now then, look at the work. What's happened just this summer when we've had our tight financial squeeze? The work has taken the biggest leap forward it ever took in its history. In this summer, we started on the new road of television and these newspaper and magazine ads. In this summer, we have opened our offices in London, England, and now have offices over there. And in this summer, we have started our newest grade school and high school in Pasadena. Now, just don't all of you start moving out there. Because we've had people move here that didn't have enough money and their children going hungry. And if some others hadn't supported them, I don't know what would have happened. And we're not going to do that. And so I warn you, don't you ever start moving here or Pasadena until you know that you've got a job or a business that'll support your family. You men, a man that won't support his family is worse than an infidel. And your first job is to support your family. Now, I think it would be an advantage to get your children in one of our schools. But don't lose your heads and think that's the only thing that counts, because I'm going to rebuke you sharply if you do it, and we're not going to stand for it. Another thing, if any families go doing that and move out there short-sightedly, we won't admit their children into the school. Now, that's all there is to it. Before any of you move either here or Pasadena, you come and be sure you've got yourself located, not only a place to live, but a place to earn a living. And otherwise, don't come. Now, I've said that before, and a lot of you didn't pay attention. A lot of people moved here, and they stubbed their toes good. And they've made some terrible mistakes. Now, if I'm hitting some of you right between the eyes, I can't help it. You made a mistake, and you ought to repent of it and ask God to forgive you, those few families of you that did that. You haven't used wisdom. Now, let's use a little bit of wisdom in this thing. And don't try to come out to Pasadena. You can't attend church there if you do, because I tell you right now, we've got people in every room in the college building. They can't even see the preacher. We put loudspeakers there, and there isn't any more room for anybody. You'd have to get up on the roof or someplace. We're bursting at the seams, so there's no use coming. There's no room for you. All right, now I've blown that off. I'll give you some of the ratings of some of the good programs, you know. Now, remember, we run from 9 to 11.2 in ratings as far as we've gone here. Walter Winchell has a 7.3 rating. We're rating ahead of Walter Winchell. Stork Club, 6.4. Mr. Peepers, 11.3. Pepsi-Cola Playhouse, and there's a dramatic show, 11.1. You Asked for It, very good program. 11.4. Those are all Sunday evening programs. The Seventh-day Adventist program, Faith for Today, has a 1.6 rating. 1.6. Oral Roberts, 1.5. World Tomorrow, 11.2. Now, those are facts that come from the business world. Listen, we're fighting our hearts out to make every dollar you send really reach the people, and I think it's not doing as bad as we thought. Now, we're doing our part and our very best. Now, you people get back of it and help us. I'm going to show you the standing, and I have the financial report here of the college, and here's one of the radio church. I'll just give you a few brief figures, and I'll give you the details later. But the income for the fiscal year that we close our books June 30th. Now, that's from June 30th last year to June 30th this year. Little Ambassador College is growing up. What do you think it cost us? What the money we took in and spent to operate the college? $394,328.66. Kind of growing up, isn't it? That's not, as they say, hay or chicken feed or pennies. Well, that wouldn't operate a big university very far. They go into many millions. But at the same time, it's a lot of money. Now the church, $630,323. I'll get it. In other words, we topped $1 million in the year from June of 1954 to June 30th, 1955. And we're now going at the rate of about $1,200,000 a year. It's got to go up to $5 million, maybe $10 million a year. So this is not a little thing anymore. I just want you to realize it's big and it's reaching millions of people. Millions of people. Now there's quite a story to be told you about England. And I'm not going to take it away from Dick Armstrong. He will tell you tomorrow morning. But we've got to do more over there than we have. The people that had promised to come to the Feast of Tabernacles are not here, and there's a reason. We're not following up our work enough, and we've got to find a way to do it. We're getting people interested over there, and then we don't follow it up, and they either stub their toe getting offended about something, or they lose interest or something like that. There are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people all over the British Isles that are beginning to get a taste of the truth, and we've got a duty to them to follow it up. Well, now that about closes what I have to say. I think the picture is very bright. But listen, brethren, even though this new road is going to take us places, it still now is going to take 6 months or a year for it to take effect where it'll bring back enough money to help us out. It's all going out now. And we're still going to have a tight squeeze. I had to tell you 2.5 years ago we would have a tight squeeze 6 months or a year on the radio network. I suppose you think I'm always saying the same thing. Well, I didn't realize then at what extent TV had cut in. But we've got our eyes open now. We've got the facts. We know where we are. Now we know we're on the right road, and it's still going to take us 6 months or a year to get going. And I'm going to have to ask you to back us with your prayers as you never did before. Now, I know how earnestly some of you do that. But I know also there are a good many who are slacking off. And I want you to pray for the slackers as well as for yourself. And that God will stir them up somehow. Because we cannot lay down or quit. Now, there has never been an offering we've taken up that means more to this work than this one today. And again, I wish I could say it's going into this tabernacle. I'd like to put in our beautiful glass windows on the sides, close up these doors on this side, the same as over there. All the big stone is out in front, but we can't afford to put it up. All the money's got to go into saving the work and getting this new road going. Perhaps we can't do a thing on this tabernacle for a year. It ought to be stained or painted on the outside. It's going to rot here pretty soon. We cannot spare the money. In the meantime, you've seen what Brother Hammer and his associates are doing with the grounds. In fact, I'm going to have to do something about that because I think there's a plot here to try to make these grounds more beautiful than Ambassador College, and we just won't stand for that now. We can't have a place in Texas more beautiful than our spot in California because we've got the most beautiful spot in California, and I think this already is the most beautiful place in Texas. Well, I tell you, God is going to make everything beautiful when we're going His way someday. Now, brethren, seriously, I hope that I don't want any of you to do something you ought not to do, put in more than you ought to. I don't want you to do that. A few people do that, and I'll say to you, don't do that. But most people don't put in as much as they can, and I know that there are a good many of you here that can put in checks this afternoon for at least a few hundred or several hundred dollars, and perhaps some of you can put in checks that run in the $1,000 amounts. Now, if you can, this is a time we need it. It's all going right out as fast as we can get it there to Pasadena. Our advertising agent told me on the telephone night before last, he has got to have a big amount of money or else. And Mr. Matson said it all depended on what we can do over here. And he called me, the advertising agent, to tell me. And we won't be able to stay on XEG unless the money comes in. Now, these are the collection offering baskets we've had. Those are California baskets that were ordered from California and came from Michigan. So Bill Homburger is a former Texan. He looked after it. All right, brethren, just say, all right, I guess I can take a hint. Will the deacons please come forward? All of our deacons, and if that isn't enough, then I'll get some more. I'll have to tell you a secret. These weren't made in Texas. I suppose they'd be still bigger if they were. But that's Texas size.
This message is provided by the Bible Study website at address www.biblestudy.org and Barnabas Ministries. Bible Study. You have questions, the Bible has answers. Message introduction and closing by Dave Williams, digitizing and editing by Alan Ruth, and post-production by Mike Summers.